Hello and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances and I'll be your hostess. Hello, hello. It is Thursday later in the week. This is episode 7 of the Off Kilter Quilt. Episode 6. When did I do that? Sunday? I don't know. Some point earlier this week when I felt much worse. I'm feeling much, much better. I would put me at 93% of wellness, and that 7% of not feeling 100% may just be allergies. It is that time of year. I am taking my Claritin, but sometimes I forget and I need to build it up in my system. There are just new allergens out there every day. Anyway, I do feel much better. And I'm much happier, and I'm getting things done. I have work to share with you. I may even be sharing pictures with you. Amazing. I did want to start off by going through some old comments. Older, not old. These comments from 10, 15 years ago. No, just recent comments that I wanted to catch up with because I thought they were important to note. For instance, a few episodes back, I thanked Debbie for her suggestion that I use painter's tape to mark straight quilting lines. Now, Sandy added a comment to Debbie's comment a little later, pointing out that you have to be careful when you use painter's tape to mark quilting lines, not to sew into that tape. Because it's really hard, and I can speak to you from experience, to get the tape up out of your stitches, and it's a little scary. You feel like you might pull stitches out as you're doing that. It's hard to avoid not sewing into the tape a little bit. For the most part, I didn't, but a couple times I did, and I ended up having to scrape a little bit of tape off with my fingernail. But that is a good point, to stay careful when you do that. Stay alert. Look alive while you are using your painter's tape to quilt straight lines. The other tip, and this is my personal tip born out of my sad experience, when you're using painter's tape to mark your straight quilting lines, it doesn't hurt to draw some directional arrows on that tape with ink or pencil that's not going to get on your fabric if you fold the fabric up. But just arrows saying, sew on this side, not on that side, because yes, more than once, I think at least a couple times before I got this brilliant idea to put directional arrows on, I sewed on the wrong side of the tape and then pulled the tape off and said, wow, I am an inch over on the wrong side. So that was frustrating. And then I came up with the ideas of the directional arrows. And did not have that problem again. This is all, by the way, a discussion fermented by my need to quilt, my class quilt from Quilt School 1. And I have finished that quilt and I've taken pictures. I hung it outside, not on the line, but on the twine that we have hung up to figure out where to hang our line. I have been wanting to hang out a line to dry my clothes for a couple years, but I am very slow to bring change about. So about 2 years ago, I thought, you know, it'd be really great to have a line out back. In our old house, in our old neighborhood, you couldn't have, there was like a neighborhood covenant, one of those horrible covenants. You couldn't paint your house purple, you couldn't have a clothesline up. And so it really took me a couple years living here to go, wow, I could have a clothesline. So last summer, I thought, I know, I'll go buy some clothesline. And I did, and I found like a retractable clothesline, and that seemed like a good idea. And now this summer, we're actually getting around to putting the clothesline up. Change is slow. Going green, it takes some of us longer than others. Anyway, so I went out this morning and took various quilts and hung them from the twine, not the line, and took pictures. My indoor pictures are terrible, but you know, any picture of fabric that you take out in the sun, it's the whole K-facet effect. You know, I need to just start taking my quilts and hanging them over railings outside of museums and churches and putting them on steps. All those, you know, great K-facet pictures, quilts in the wild kind of pictures, that they always end up looking really good. So I'm hoping that I will be able to post those on my Podbean site, and by that, by the way, that is http://// I don't know why. I can't remember. You can remember. We all know when we sit down to type in an address. offkilterquilt.podbean.com. And you can go over there and leave comments and hopefully view some quilts. I emailed my husband some pictures yesterday and he was able to get them down to 200 pixels. I also have a website, a blog, over at wordpress.com. When I decided to do the podcast and thought I was going to do it all on my own, I started by starting a blog over at WordPress and then abandoned that blog when I decided I would go with Podbean and started a Podbean blog. But I still have that blog called The Off Kilter Quilt over at WordPress. And if I have trouble posting pictures on Podbean, and it is kind of a pain to have to reduce a picture to 200 pixels, I will post them over on my abandoned blog. My poor little abandoned blog over on WordPress. I'll keep you up to date on all that. I know it's very exciting. I know this kind of talk is what you've tuned in to listen to. Anyway, hopefully pictures of the quilt that I made for class, which I have to say I now like. I do think that a couple of the women in that class made just quilts that were so beautiful that I liked more than my quilt and would still to this day like more than my quilt. Just that the fabrics they picked were so lovely. You know, I don't think they were particularly better constructed than my quilt. My quilt is perfectly nicely constructed. Thank you very much. But I really thought their fabric choices were very pretty. But the thing that really helped me turn the corner on my class quilt was the binding. And it's tiny, you know, it's just, you just started out with 2.5 inches. So it's like, what, I don't know what that gets down to. An inch and a half doesn't look like an inch and a half. It looks like 3/4 of an inch, maybe 1/2 inch. So a very small strip of fabric. And for some reason that just brought everything together. I don't know if you'll be able to see it in the picture or not, but it was just funny how much, what an effect the binding had. That really shocked me. So keep that in mind when you're making your own binding choices. It does matter. So I'm pleased with that quilt, and I'm done with that quilt. I'm also done with the wall hanging that I did my own quilting that I hand quilted. I finished that finally, got the binding on, also took a picture of that. Happy to be done. Now, here's a funny story. Well, wait a second. Let me look at my notes, because before I get into my funny story, let me look at what else I have in my notes. I wanted to say I got some very helpful comments after episode 5. Tammy informed me. That's when I was talking about doing sashing and hating sashing and wanting to jump off of a cliff because of sashing. And I was talking about those little squares and what were they called, cornerstones. Tammy informs me they are in fact called cornerstones. I was right. And this will actually play into my funny story later. Nani informed me that the method I was using, we're talking now about my crib quilt that I'm still constructing and I really want to abandon, but I can't abandon it yet, but I want to. I could go buy a stuffed rabbit and send it to Abigail, because I feel no confidence that this quilt will be something I'll be happy to send. No, that's not true. It's going to be beautiful. I know. I'm also going to post a picture of that, of the top part, what I have of the top so far, which is close. I still have to do borders and such. So I'm not completely done with the top, but I thought I'd show a picture since I've been talking about it so much. In any event, what I talked about when I last talked about this quilt, which I'm very tired of talking about, was that despite the problems I was having getting things to even out, when I stepped about 4 feet away from the quilt, the blocks actually did seem to align. And I thought that was because the sashing was white and there was so much white in the blocks. And Nani informed me that this method, using the background fabric that so closely matches the fabric and the blocks, so in this case, white fabric with a largely white block, is called floating the blocks. And I had never heard of that. And I think this sounds very nice, doesn't it? Floating the blocks. But that makes sense too, because the blocks do kind of appear to be floating in the fabric. And she said that oftentimes people will do that when they're doing a block exchange, when the size of the blocks aren't necessarily uniform. I thought that was really interesting. She also recommended to me Harriet and Carrie Hargrave's Quilting Academy books that sort of take you through things step by step, starting, it looked like there were five or six volumes of this. So you begin, with the very basics, and they kind of increase your skills. And Harriet Hargrave is the woman who wrote the heirloom machine quilting book that I'm so interested in right now that I got for my birthday. So I'm wondering whether to start with the first Quilting Academy book, or am I actually at book two? I don't know. Maybe I'll start with the first one. So thank you very much to Nani and to Tammy with those helpful recommendations and affirmations. I want to say thanks to Jane and Loretta for their recent comments, and thanks to everyone who has reviewed the podcast on iTunes. It really means a lot to me. I was watching on QNN. I just have these little, now I'm getting into these little arbitrary notes. I was watching QNN yesterday, and they have this, I didn't realize this, but they have sort of the Kay Fassett show. I just watched sort of where he walks you through his incredibly messy house. You know what shocked me? How American he sounds. I know that he's American, and he lives in London or England, I think London. I know that about him, and I expected him to be kind of like Madonna, and have that sort of the way that some Americans really pick up British accents when they have lived in the UK for a long time. And so I expected him to sound very British, and he doesn't. He sounds like totally Midwestern. Well, not Midwestern. I mean, totally just kind of American, I have a friend, one of my best friends from Ohio, and he doesn't sound like Daniil from Ohio. So not necessarily Midwestern. Stop rambling. Okay, I will. Anyway, but one thing when he was walking around his very messy but beautiful, of course, house, he said, "I always work on six things at one time. It keeps me fresh." And I really like that because I'm kind of the same way. Wanted to mention one thing that I bought recently. I could do it like an ad. Are you over 45? Then it would be worth your while to invest $15 in the Clover Needle Threader. Man, I did this. I was at my last class at Quilt School One, and I needed a needle threader because my eyes just went. I think I was 42. I was on a plane going to Houston. Picked up a book. Didn't have my glasses. I've had glasses since I was in college, but very, very weak kind of reading glasses. And I could always read without them. It just was made it life a little bit easier. I would get headaches, but I could. The words were still clear on the page, but it gave me a headache to read without my very mild reading glasses. Well, for some reason, I'm on this plane to Houston. And I start reading something. And I don't have my glasses out. I'm sure I had them with me, but I was just reading, and all of a sudden, everything was fuzzy. I was, like I said, I was about 42 years old on this plane. Like, wow, my eyes just went. The next year when I was 43, my knees went. That's when I started realizing, wow, things are going. So anyway, now I'm too cheap to go to the optometrist and get official glasses. So right now I'm up to the 1.5 magnification on my reading glasses that I get at Target. Anyway, I'm a woman in need of a needle threader, and I didn't have one. I've got one somewhere, and I'm using these very nice quilting needles. They're not called quilting needles, but that I got for class. I'm going to walk over. I'm going to walk and talk with my computer, and I will tell you in my big bowl of quilting stuff here on my dining room table. I've got my neat little thingy. Where is it? Here it is. Here it is. Straw needles, size 10. I love this. It's from Gina Kimball's Foxglove Cottage. Size 10, 16 per case. It's just this little plastic tube full of needles. with a tiny eye. And so my reading glasses were not enough. And so I asked Karen, my teacher, so what do you think? What kind of, is there a particular needle threader that you would recommend? And she said, let me show you this. So this very, it's this Clover needle threader. Again, it's about $15. My guess is you can get it at Joann's for less, or, you know, use your 40% coupon. It is so worth it. You pop down the needle in a hole, you pull down your thread, and then you squeeze the trigger. And your needle is threaded. It's very cool. I have to say, if you are over 45, or really over 40, spend the money. Go get this. You will be so, so happy. All right. That, I think, is what I had to say in terms of comments and just basic miscellany. Now I'm going to tell you my latest story. So, done with my class quilt, done with my wall hanging, of course, ordered $100 of fabric from fatquarter.com, all these Moda solids for this quilt I'm going to work on this summer for my bedroom, our bedroom, and I'm going through with the motions of finishing up the crib quilt, which I don't hate it, it's from my past. I divide my life now between my quilt before quilt school one and after quilt school one, and I'm just a different person now. And this crib quilt, it's like an old boyfriend that I realize I need to stop dating. You know, you know how it is when you went back in the day when I used to have boyfriends. And it's been a long time since I had a boyfriend. But you know, you'd be dating a guy for a while, and he wasn't, you know, your soulmate or anything, but he's a nice guy. He paid for the movies. He bought you a hamburger afterwards. And still you're like, you know, it's really time to let go. I'm having that feeling with this quilt, but the other part of me is like, no, you must finish. You must finish this, and it's good to go through the process of finishing. In order to finish it, I needed a bit more white fabric, and so I went over to Thimble Pleasures to get it. I had another mission. At my last class of Quilt School 1, I was, during a break, looking at some Moda jelly rolls. In particular, I was looking at some Martinique jelly rolls. Now, the thing when you're in the store looking at the jelly rolls, if the fabric that the jelly roll is cut from is not right there, and I'm, you know, they don't cut the fabric in the store, but you know what I mean. If that line isn't in front of you, you're kind of like, it's hard to get a sense. What are all the fabrics in here looking like? And there happened to be a brochure, a Moda brochure, Martinique. And sure enough, I looked on the back and there was a panel of all the fabrics in the line. I was like, oh, that's so cool. So I grab it, take it with me back into the classroom, and pop it in my bag to look at when I get home. I come home, I pull it out, and I'm looking at it. And of course, there's a pattern. And it's not a pattern I want to do, but it's pretty. And I'm looking at that. And I look at the back of the brochure, and brochure's not quite the right word, just, you know, pattern. And it says suggested real retail price $6. Like, I did not pay for this. I had no idea. I thought it was free. I'm thinking, man, what if you had gotten nabbed? What if they had caught you shoplifting this, even though you didn't realize you were shoplifting it? You know, what if you'd gotten kicked out, like denied access to Thimble Pleasures for the rest of your life? And what if Karen, I mean, I just imagine the disappointed look on Karen's face, you know, Karen, my teacher, just being like, man, Francis, I didn't know you were like that. So I was like, really, like, oh man, I stole something. And I have to tell you that I did plenty wrong when I was a kid and when I was a teenager, but I was never a shoplifter. So I was really bummed. And like, I called my mom. I'm like, what should I? I mean, I knew. It's like, I knew I would take it back. I mean, it's just, on the one hand, it's just a $6 pattern. On the other hand, even, you know, $6 matters. But I'm just like, do you think? It wasn't, when I called my mother, it wasn't like, what should I do? But more like, what do you think they will do to me? And she's like, you have no poker face. You're gonna go in, and they're gonna know you didn't do it intentionally, and just offer to buy it, and they'll be fine. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna do this because I just can't have this on my conscience. I don't want to bring down Thimble Pleasures by my $6 theft. So I go in, I guess Monday, and fortunately I see Karen. So I go up to her and I'm like, I got a problem. I accidentally stole this Moda brochure, and I give it to her, and she's like, huh, I don't know that we actually sell that. That may be a freebie. And she walked over to the display and looked at it. She's like, yeah, I think that's a freebie. They send us a lot of this stuff because we buy so much fabric. And then she went up to a woman who I kind of assume is the owner of the shop, who was very nice and funny, and she said, dude, is this for sale? And the woman was like, no, we just give it away. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. So that, I was very happy about that because I really did have a moment after I realized that there was a retail price on this thing. I thought, man, what if they go over their security cameras footage tonight and see that? And Karen recognizes me and IDs me, and then they call and say, Mrs. Dow, you have stolen something from us in... well, the police will be showing up, or you may never come back, or whatever. I really did kind of worry about that. And so I'm glad that was all resolved and that I'm actually not a shoplifter. So the next funny thing that happens is I'm talking with Karen and saying, yes, I'm here to get this white fabric to finish up this quilt that I'm having some problems with because I can't really make the sashing work. I can't get the blocks to line up evenly. And she said, well, you know what really helps with that? Cornerstones. If you want to be able to line up your blocks, use cornerstones. Well, I didn't tell her that I, on purpose, decided not to use cornerstones when putting together this quilt because I just didn't want to deal with them and felt that instead of helping me, they would be a hindrance. Turns out, maybe I was wrong about that. Now, I will say with this pattern, the cornerstones would have been 2 inches, which is not a big square. So, I don't know. Maybe she's right. I mean, I know in the big picture, she's right. I also know that if I'd used cornerstones in this quilt, I would have bigger problems than just not having my blocks match up. I would be pulling out big chunks of my hair, which is so unattractive, especially this time of year. So, but I was like, oh, cornerstones, really? That's what I need. So then she produced a pattern that she had just made up for the store. And she said, now here's a pattern that uses cornerstones. And she showed me, and I said, uh-huh. And then she said, and each staff member has put together a charm pack to use for this pattern. And so I went and looked at the charm packs. This pattern called for 2 charm packs. And they were so charming that I found myself, I had the pattern, not stolen, Karen's pattern, in my hand. She said I could take it. And I'm thinking, oh, this is so cute, and I could use it. This would be a great quilt. It would look very modern, and I'm very into modern these days. And I'm looking at the charm packs, and they're so cute, and they're just $7.50. And I swear to you, I don't really know what happened from that point on, but all of a sudden I was paying for my fabric and 2 charm packs and thinking, the quilt doesn't end with the charm packs. You're going to have to buy backing and batting and binding, and I just didn't care. It was like I was under hypnosis. I just could not stop myself. I could not stop. Like, I need another quilt pattern and quilt project. I need a hole in my head. I don't. So, but I'm with Kaif. You got to have 6 projects going on at once. It keeps you fresh. So I thought, so that was funny too, that having finished up 2 quilts, sort of cleared the decks almost, except for this crib quilt, that I just want to be done. Do you want to finish it for me? I'd send it to you, and except that you would then spend a lot of time mocking me in various places for how badly it's done. But anyway, when I finish recording this, by Jiminy, I'm going to go work on it. Just got to put on some borders. And there's a white border around it. And then I have to make kind of a liberated border out of the different colors used in the blocks. And I think that actually will be really cute. That's actually the whole reason why I'm doing the dang quilt, is because I thought that border was very cute. So I'm going to do it. I'm making myself finish it, and then I'll be really happy. And I'll be happy to be done with it forever. Okay, I'm wrapping things up. I do appreciate you listening very much. It is so much fun to just sit here and talk about what I'm doing, and I hope it is in the least bit interesting or entertaining to you. I hope so. And do get in touch if you're of a mind to, fdal@mindspring.com or offkilterquiltpodbean.com. There are other dots in there. Figure out the dots. You can do it. You're smart. In the meantime, stay cool. Stay quilty. I'll be back with more quilty news before you know it. Take care, and thank you for listening.